So it's batch number 7 now of local news and features. It's Tim and Liz. It's Update Talking News Stoke with you. And we have for you 4 more headlines. And Lizzie's headlines are...
Tunstall TikTok star Mehek Bukhari fights to cut 31-year prison sentence. And the Stoke-on-Trent football team where every player is scarred by same tragedy.
And my headlines are University of Staffordshire to axe dozens of jobs and £6.4 million call. And government rejects a new call for Wally's Quarry public inquiry. So now it's time for the answers to the one and only quiz with Liz.
Okay, number 1. St Luke's summer is the name given to a spell of sunny or calm weather around St Luke's Day in which month? And the month is October. And the actual date is the 18th of October. Now today, we had a bit of a St. Luke's summer day because it was very nice, only then it rained on my washing. And St. Luke is the patron saint of artists, physicians and students. So we had a bit of a St. Luke's summer day today. This is the 22nd of October. It's going to be dreadful tomorrow. So I think Luke's summer and the whole summer is gone now. Number 2. What bird was considered sacred by the Incas, who saw it linking the spiritual world to the earthly realm? It was the condor. Number 3, Hallux. I think you say that, or Horlux, H-A-L-L-U-X, is the anatomical and medical term for which part of the human body? It is your big toe. Number 4, a quinquennium is a specified period of how many years? It is 5 years. Number 5. In which decade was the Thames Barrier officially opened by the Queen? It was opened in the 1980s. Number 6. In which state is Camp David the country retreat of the US President? It is in Maryland. Number 7. Which race course stages the Welsh Grand National? It's Chepstow. Number 8. The Adriatic is an arm of which larger sea? It's an arm of the Mediterranean Sea. Number 9, what does a costermonger sell? A costermonger sells fruit and vegetables. I don't know if costermongers still exist, mind. Number 10, which English County Cricket Club is based at Chesterley Street? The answer to that is Durham. And if you got that right... and you knew it a long time ago when Who Wants to Be a Millionaire started. That was a question in the for the actual £1 million. And I knew the answer. And the person bottled it and didn't take it. I think it was before anyone had won £1 million. And finally, bonus question. What type of creature is an oyster catcher? An oyster catcher is a bird.
Wonderful stuff. So I hope you did great in that. If not, you can have a go at Timbo's Trivia, or if not, the one and only quiz with Liz next time. Okay, to give Liz a little breather, I'll do the first story, even though it is her turn.
Oh, I was about to do it.
No, I'll do it. It's fine. You can have a breather and a chocolate or something. Okay, so my first story is University of Staffordshire to axe dozens of jobs in a £6.4 million call. Dozens more jobs are set to be axed at the University of Staffordshire, previously Staffordshire University. In a £6.4 million savings plan, affected staff are now being consulted following the cost-cutting announcement. The university is planning to axe 31 academic roles and 35 non-academic positions, as well as not filling existing vacancies and reducing the number of agency workers. Its on-campus art shop is also at risk, as we told you about previously. It comes after the university consulted over the futures of 100 workers in November a couple of years ago in 2023, and last October 245 members of staff were placed at risk of redundancy with 40 jobs to be axed. The university had a The university had a 1,679 strong workforce in October 2024, over a year ago, that has fallen to 1,248 in July this year. A University of Staffordshire spokesperson said, like many universities, we are facing financial pressures due due to the challenging higher education environment. We're planning to make pay savings of circa £6.4 million, comprising some staffing reductions, non-replacements of vacancies, and a reduction in casual contracts of employment. We're proposing a reduction of 3.12 FTE academic roles and 35.5 FTE professional service roles. Whilst these proposals are disappointing for our staff, 95% of our 1,248 staff community would remain unaffected. A formal consultation process began on the 9th of October. Throughout this period, the student experience will remain paramount, and we are committed to full consultation with our recognised trade unions and to providing support to colleagues who are going to be affected. So over to Liz, who's going to do her first story for you in batch number 7.
Tunstall TikTok star Mehek Bukhari fights to cut 31-year prison term. A TikTok influencer who murdered her mother's lover and his friend in a high-speed car chase should have her sentence reduced, as it is wholly disproportionate, the Court of Appeal has been told. Mehek Bukhari, who lived at George Eardley Close in Tunstall, was jailed for a minimum of 31 years in September 2023 for her involvement in the murders of Saqib Hussein and Mohammed Hashim Ijazuddin in February 2022, with her mother Ansreen also convicted and imprisoned for at least 26 years. Two others were also convicted of the murders, with a further three found guilty of two counts of manslaughter. Their trial at Leicester Crown Court heard that the murders followed Ansreen's unsuccessful attempts to break off her affair with Mr. Hussein. Mr. Hussein had threatened to release sexually explicit material he had of Ansreen, who lived at the same Tunstall address as her daughter, if she did not pay him the £3,000 he claimed to have spent on her during their tryst, jurors heard. Prosecutors claimed Mr. Hussein and Mr. Ijazuddin, both 21 and from Oxfordshire, were lured to one last meeting with the Bukharis in a Tesco car park in Leicester under the pretense of returning the money. But the Bukharis and others ambushed the pair, chasing Mr. Ijazuddin's Skoda along the A46 in Leicester in two vehicles and deliberately ramming them off the road. At the Court of Appeal, barristers for Mehek said her sentence should be reduced as it did not reflect that Mr. Hussein had demonstrated controlling behaviour towards her mother in the hours before the killing. Christopher Millington, KC for Mehek, who was 24 at the time of her sentencing, said Mr. Hussein threatened to release the sexually explicit material, which was the end of a very long series of threatening messages. This had a very direct evidential bearing on the Bukhari's decision to travel to Leicester to meet Mr. Hussein, Mr. Millington said. He said, "None of this, we submit, was reflected in the fixing of the minimum term as it should have been." Mr. Millington also said that the killing was heat of the moment rather than cold-blooded murder. He continued, "There was a plan, but it was not a plan to kill Saqib or anyone else. It plainly involved the real possibility of violence, beating up perhaps. It was never considered to be a plan to kill or cause really serious bodily injury." Mr. Millington told the hearing in London that Mehek's age and lack of maturity also should have led to a shorter sentence. He concluded, "One has been left with a term that is wholly disproportionate." After the car chase began, Mr. Hussein told police in a 999 call moments before his death that his and Mr. Ijazuddin's car was being rammed off the road by assailants. Analysis by forensic collision investigators showed that one of the cars involved in the chase reached speeds of up to 100 miles per hour. Sentencing Judge Timothy Spencer KC said Mehek's tawdry fame as a social media influencer made her utterly self-obsessed and oblivious to the damage you do. Collingwood Thompson KC for the Crown Prosecution Service acknowledged at the Court of Appeal hearing that blackmail by Mr. Hussein undoubtedly existed and was relevant, but said the sentence should not be reduced. He said the fact is that the appellant did contemplate with her mother going to the police, and if they had gone to the police, none of this would have happened. A conscious decision was made not to go to the police and deal with it another way. He concluded, this was a tough sentence, but it was not manifestly excessive. Lord Justice Warby, Mr. Justice Lavender and Judge Sylvia de Bertodano will give their judgment in writing at a later date.
Wonderful stuff. So my final story now in batch number 7 is government rejects new call for Whalley's Quarry public inquiry. The government has again rejected calls for a public inquiry into the environment. Let me do that again. A bit of a tongue twister into the Environment Agency's handling of a controversial landfill site. Elected members at Newcastle Borough Council passed a motion in July which reiterated the authority's request for an inquiry into the EA's regulation of Whalley's Quarry in Silverdale, which is the subject of thousands of odour complaints from residents. But Environment Minister Mary Creagh has written back to the council saying that her position has not changed since she turned down the council's previous request for an inquiry last year. Ms Creagh said that she is not convinced of the benefits of holding such an inquiry and claims that the EA has complied with environmental law and has fulfilled its statutory duties in regulating Whalley's Quarry. Whalley's Quarry was closed by the Environment Agency last year. An operator, Whalley's Quarry Limited, subsequently collapsed since then. The EA has been managing the site, and hydrogen and sulphide emissions have remained below the annoyance threshold since the spring. Ms. Craig, Creagh welcomed the progress made at the site and said she'd been in close contact with Newcastle MP Adam Joggy, so that this disgraceful situation, it doesn't look like that. So this disgraceful situation is finally sorted and the lessons are learned to prevent such incidents in future. But cabinet members at Newcastle Borough Council still believe that the best way of preventing similar incidents is to hold a public inquiry in order to understand how the situation at Whalley's was allowed to get so bad. Council leader Simon Tagg said it's not our view that the EA fulfilled its obligations. I still believe that a public inquiry is the way forward, so we can learn the lessons from this, not just for the people here in Newcastle under Lyme, but for other areas that may suffer the same in the future. The problem was not addressed early enough, the population wasn't heard too early enough, and it took 2, 3, 4 years of harm and distress for local residents that needs to be looked into and people held to account. Deputy Leader Stephen Sweeney says that she's not convinced of the benefits of holding an inquiry, but if we hold an inquiry, it might not happen again. It might not happen to other areas of this country. I would think that a public inquiry that looks at all the things that went wrong would be an excellent way of going about it. The Borough Council's also waiting to learn what government funding will be available for the long-term capping and restoration of the Whalley's Quarry site. So over to Liz, who's going to do the final story for us now in batch number 7.
The Stoke-on-Trent football team, where every player is scarred by the same tragedy. A new football club looking to give bereaved dads a space for support has launched in Burslem. Forget-Me-Not FC kicked off their first session on the 4th of August 2025. The group is aimed at men around Stoke-on-Trent and North Staffordshire who have suffered a child loss either before or after pregnancy. Fathers, brothers and uncles are all invited to attend. Each session opens with a Pits and Peaks discussion where members share one negative and one positive experience they've had in the week. Afterwards, the players get stuck into an hour of football to help shake everything off. The group was founded by team captains James Routledge and Sean Coleman in partnership with the Royal Stoke University Hospital and the Port Vale Foundation. Founder James of Stone lost his daughter Teddy in October last year. He said, we got to our 20-week scan and found out there were problems with our baby, which meant she wouldn't make it. It turned our world upside down. You just feel powerless. There's nothing you can do. As a man, when you're having a baby, it's not happening to your body. You just kind of envisage it from an outside perspective. Then suddenly that vision is taken away. It's like being in a car crash. You think you're going one way, but then you're smashed into another direction. James said his heart-wrenching loss left him feeling isolated, thanks to the lack of support groups for bereaved dads. He explained, any form of baby loss can be really heartbreaking. It impacts men in a weird way because they don't know how to grieve. There are some good charities out there, but there isn't much for men specifically. And I think men often feel like a spare part in this process. That's what prompted me to get involved in the creation of this football team. Sean Coleman originally came up with the idea. He was playing for a similar team in Liverpool called Honeysuckle FC, but he lived in Biddulph. He'd already been in talks with the Royal Stoke about getting one set up here. James and Sean collaborated with Royal Stoke and the Port Vale Foundation to get the team up and running. 20 players have already joined the team's ranks. The turnout has been great, James said. It affects a lot more people than you'd think. It isn't something that's talked about. It's very difficult to bring up. It creates a vicious cycle because it isn't talked about, you don't know anyone else who has gone through it. One thing that has surprised me is how natural the whole thing has been. Everything flows easily because people feel immediately comforted being in a group who've suffered the exact same thing. It's a massive release. You can get things off your chest in a way you perhaps couldn't anywhere else. Even family and friends find it difficult to fully understand what you've been through, but this group allows you to have those very specific and detailed conversations because we're all in the same boat. Now, James and Sean have high hopes for the club's future, with ambitions to create a fully fledged team. James added, the vision is that we'll build a full-scale proper team eventually, once we have enough members. We can play proper 11-a-side matches internally. We're hoping to enter local leagues, but one thing we'd really love to do is play against the other teams for bereaved dads around the country. We could even set up a little tournament. Forget Me Not FC meets at Port Vale every other Monday. To join the group, email Brett Poynton, that's brett.poynton@port-vale.co.uk at Port Vale Foundation, or the Bereavement Midwifery Team at Royal Stoke, and that's nos-tr.bereavementmidwife@nhs.net. Bereavement Midwife is all one word. And that's my last story.
Wonderful stuff. Many thanks. Have you got a good week coming up, Liz?
Well, I might go to the film theatre tonight to see a film about honey spurkles. That's spoons.
Well, that sounds fun.
Porridge spurkles. I'm not sure. Or with honey in them. I'm not sure. I might go to the film theatre tomorrow to see a film, something to do with Palestine. These sound a bundle of laughs, don't
they? Yeah, they sound a bit depressing, yeah.
What else have I got lined up?
Are you doing anything nice over the weekend?
I should go out with my partner to have a nice meal somewhere.
Oh, I'm envious now. I like your nice meal.
I thought you were going to say you like my nice partner.
Oh, I like your nice partner as well, but... Well, have a lovely week, and we'll see you back when we're recording on November the 12th.
Lovely. Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Bye for now.
Bye.